August 1, 2018, it's the Watt for Pedro Show. Hey, people, happy Wednesday. Brother Matt just getting back from his big excursion overseas, so I'm still not exactly man alone because through the wonders of those engineers from Estonia via Skype, we got Chris Butler aboard. You're in Cleveland, right, Chris?
Akron, Ohio.
I'm so sorry. A little bit south, people.
A little bit south, right.
Right. Welcome aboard to the show, Chris.
Thank you very much, Mike. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and I want to congratulate you and, the late, great Mr. Ralph Carney. This album you guys got is very happening.
Thank you very much.
I played So What from last tour of Miles and Train did together in Europe, and then Tapioca Day.
Ralph Carney. Right, Tapioca Day, right. Yeah, what we did was take a bunch of obscure holidays and pass tapes back and forth between us over the last couple of years, and wound up with 16 tracks of silliness, deliberate silliness, but also rich musical content. Just trying to have some fun because there's so much silliness needed in the world right now. And Ralph started this with sending me an email, says, how come there are no more silly bands? And, which got me thinking, cause like, the Who were silly and the Rolling Stones even could be silly and the Beatles were certainly silly.
Did you guys out there get Dr. Demento on Sundays?
Oh, of course. Religiously.
Yeah, when I was a teenager. Let's go back with you, Chris. What's your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, well, my earliest recollection would be lying in bed as a teenager listening to WBZ out of Boston. Now I'm in Cleveland, but as an AM, powerful 100,000-watt AM station, it could bounce off the ionosphere and I could pick up Boston. And a wonderful DJ played, for some reason, Boston station would get British Invasion music before the Cleveland stations, and this particular DJ played Mona, I Need You, off of Rolling Stones Now, and this is like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then there's Dead Air, and then he plays it again, and then there's more Dead Air, and then he plays it a third time, a little bit of Dead Air, and it just goes, whew, and cuts to commercial. So that's stuck with, that's my first earliest real rock and roll experience.
Okay, where you grew up in the house, was your parents, brothers, sisters, listeners, or music makers, or both?
A little bit of both. I grew up with a piano teaching mom, and
So there's a piano in the living room?
Two pianos. She was the double teacher. A lot of show tunes, big band music, real suburban record collection, 101 strings, the 99 cent specials, but, Cleveland had great radio.
Can you remember the first record you bought for yourself?
Absolutely. The Bristol Stomp of the Dobells from John Wade, Records at Shaker Square. My first 45, I think it was like, 59 cents
Shaker
or something.
Shaker Heights?
Yes, Shaker Heights.
Yeah, I got a buddy named Demos at Conk when I play Cleveland Heights. That's where I got Kathy. Okay, do you remember the first gig you went to?
Well, first concert I ever went to was James Brown. Flick School took out of school and told our parents we were going to a high school football game and went to the Cleveland Arena, which was a hockey arena. And needless to say, there weren't a lot of people of the Caucasian persuasion there, and we had an incredible time. So that had to be when I was like 14 or something like that.
Did your ma have you take piano lessons? Did she teach you?
Man, I tried, I tried. I could play bass, I could play drums, I could play guitar, but I can't seem to get, anything beyond a one-finger keyboard going. I can't do left and right hands.
Okay. So, what about in school? Were you in the school band? Did you do the marching band?
No marching band, but I was in a great high school band called the Disciples. And there were two bands at our high school. There were the kind of rich kids whose parents signed for the PA system. And they did All British Invasion. And we were the poor kids band. We had homemade amplifiers, speakers, and we played all the car clubs, all the music for all the greasers and the hoods, and a lot of funerals for the bikers. We had a black lead singer, we were an integrated band, which was kind of unheard of. We had a certified...
We're talking about the 60s, right, Chris?
Yeah, I'm talking about the 60s, right. And so we did a lot of harm.
Did you practice at the school or in the garage, bedroom?
Oh, in the garage and in my parents' utility room.
So this wasn't really a school band. This was just something you guys did on the side.
Oh, yeah, this is a rock and roll band. I tried playing drums in the... in the marching band, but I didn't like it. I didn't want to be a military style drummer. I wanted to be a rock and roll drummer. I was playing drums at the time. So
was that the first instrument you learned, Chris?
Well, that, you know, folk guitar.
Because there was an acoustic guitar laying around the house.
Yeah. This was the kind of folk song era, folk revival, and I did a lot of Michael Rowe, The Boat Ashore, and. You know, the big change in my life was when I could do a bar chord. So I could get beyond the cowboy chords and play some rock and roll.
Okay. Well, what got you on the drums? You had a drum kit laying around?
Oh, well, I got started on the drums because I saw The Who on Shindig, and that screwed me up for the rest of my life, frankly.
Well, how'd you get your first drum set? I'm curious.
Yeah, drum set. Oh, I wish I had it. It was a Slingerland drum set in a really rare color called Capri, Carnival Capri or something like that. I have one drum left of it.
How did you get it, Chris?
I bugged the hell out of my parents until they caved in, and we went down to Soja's Music in Cleveland, and it still had... Mike, it still had calfskin heads on it. That's how old this drum set was.
Now, where did you practice? In your room? In the garage?
Yeah, my room. I drove my parents crazy. I apologize. I apologize.
Did you ever do the pot and pan thing before you got that kit?
Oh, yeah. At my grandmother's house, sure. She'd be, she's Hungarian, so she'd be cooking the paprikash, and I'd be banging on, I'd be banging on the pots and pans in the corner. Drove
That's
her
great,
crazy.
I want to play Buffet Day.
When my family is starving and they want to eat some food, we go to the all-you-can-eat buffet down the road. We get seconds and thirds and fourths and lots of chicken and rice and sweet potatoes in the corner, and I'm putting on the side. It's National Buffet Day once again. All you can eat, my friend. All the dishes are laid out on a table or a series of tables, and diners serve themselves. Many of these are now known as all-you-can-eat buffets. In Sweden, they are known as smörgåsbords. 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 Oh, yeah. Fill off your plate and shovel it down and go get some more at the all-you-can-eat. 'Cause it's National Buffet Day. Oh, National Buffet Day is a wonderful kind of day. We all get in the car. takeaway, no takeaway. Oh, no, no, no. No takeaway, no takeaway. After eating all there. I'm full now. Burp belt. Hey, I need to loosen my belt. Yeah. National Buffet.
Going up and down, got my heart stopped when you start jamming and you eat up the track. Queen on the attack, going on and on. No one can stop you, girl. Right on, no turning back. Your team is going to win. When you come flashing in, you get them going. The blood is flowing. I mean, pounding in the veins. You get them back. You set them back. You fly around the track. Another point to win. Another jam again. These blockers can't defy you. You surge in, rolling by to show them what you're made of, front or back. You're queen of the track.
Brown shoes.
Oscar. Rent the first cheese ball at his farm in 1801. It weighs 1,200 pounds. 1,200 pounds of cheese ball. He presented it as a gift to President Jefferson.
Walk for Peter show. Yeah, that was Buffet Day from Ralph Card and Chris Butler. Then we hear Brand New Healers, Just Add Water. A little west of Chicago there. Talking
yep.
about Illinois.
Yep.
And then the Space Pony from Ravenna, Italy was Sleepy. Stretch Woven, new prods from Nils Klein and Scott Amendola. Clingy Fluff Pants. Carla Bozulich after that with Number X. Joe Brewer out of Madison, Wisconsin with Queen of the Track. And finally, Cheese Ball Day, Ralph Carney and Chris Butler. So, Disciples is the first band that you're like playing in front of people. Do you remember the first gig you did with the Disciples?
Well, I was one of those fortunate kids because we were playing every Friday and Saturday night. And the first weekend I remember was first Friday was like a sock hop, you know, kind of a pep rally sock hop before some high school basketball game. And, you know, we did our greaser hot rod music. And that was incredibly fun. I used to play barefoot, so. So that was kind of like set me apart from the other drummers in our high school, you know, in our high school. But the real baptism of fire was, we got to play next night we got to play a fraternity party at the time it was Case Western Reserve University. And, you know, you're a 13, 14 year old kid and, you know, it's kind of like your first introduction to sin because fraternity boys, you know, they had kegs of beer and naughty Catholic girls, and it was quite an experience for a young suburban brat like me. So that was a remarkable weekend, and I also made like $100, you know. My parents were constantly comparing me to Joe Blow, who had like a paper route, who would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and make us $35 a week because it built character. Well, we were making $100 a weekend playing in a rock and roll music. Of course, I didn't know at the time that was probably the most money I would make being in a band.
How long did this band last, Chris?
Say what?
How long did the Disciples last for you?
Oh, they kept going. They kept going all through high school.
No, but your part. All through high school, huh? So what,
oh, yeah.
5, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then what yep. happened?
Well, then I went to college. I went to Kent State University, and I couldn't bring my drums down, so I was living in a house with the bass player for the James Gang, original bass player named Tom Chris, and this was an unusual house called Rock City. All the houses, the off-campus housing in Kent had nicknames, and ours was Rock City, this old Victorian. I made a film about it. I could hook you up with a URL. Rock City was this big old Victorian where we had like 17 people living there, but Tom couldn't make his rent, so he sold me a Gibson Thunderbird bass for $65, and boy, I wish I had it now. I started to play bass, and then I got a Les Paul Junior, 59 Les Paul Junior, single cutaway with one P90. Boy, I wish I had that now too.
You were playing in some bands, college bands?
Yeah, we were playing college bands. Kent was a real big blues town. There was a club there called The Cove, which was a stop on the blues trail, the Chitlin' Circuit, kind of. So we got to see Hound Dog Taylor every other weekend, Charlie Musselwhite. There was and still is a fabulous blues-based band called 156075, a.k.a. The Numbers Band, which was very blues-based, blues and jazz-based band, kind of indescribable music. But Kent was a heavy blues town, so I played it on a rhythm guitar in a blues band with one of the now current members of 156075. And
didn't they have one of the, like, brother Chrissy Hine?
That's right. The sax player is Terry Hine. Okay. That's right. He's still in the band. They're going, working on their...
Now, when you were at Kent, was the Devo guys there? Was the Mark and the...
Oh, yeah. We lived next door. I got to be around.
And you must know about this gig that Captain Beefheart did, right? And everybody who later went to make bands was at, right?
Oh, yeah. Beefheart was huge. Trial Replica is completely, you know, up there. In the Pantheon as a real instrumental, inspirational piece of work. In fact, it's Jerry Casale who turned me on, Jerry Devo.
Sure.
Who turned me on to Captain Beefheart.
Okay. So, the Tin Huey guys?
Yep.
Okay.
Wonderful band.
So were you playing with some of these guys?
Well, I joined Tin Huey. I was in the Numbers Band from like 75 to 78, 79, and I got fired because I cut rehearsal to go get my picture taken for a fictional band called The Waitresses. Stiff Records had come to town to try and court Devo, and they decided to look around and see what else there was, and they found all these bands who made their own records, and they decided to put out a Akron compilation, and I had to get my picture taken, and I had to cut rehearsal, so I got canned, but I kept playing I joined Tin Huey, and they needed another writer, like kind of like a hole in the head, because everybody in the band wrote. That was the most creative band I was ever in, the Tin Huey people. Everybody wrote. Everybody was an incredibly unique individual, and that's where I met Ralph Carney, sure. My partner on this project. Ralph was, I think, 22 years old and was already a genius on the saxophone, but could play just about anything else that was lying around. And he gave Tin Huey a real jazz spin, and we were complete raging fans of everything from Beefheart to Bonzo Dog Duda Band to all the krautrock and prog rock stuff from Robert Wyatt is huge.
What about Hampton Grease Band?
Yeah, Hampton Grease Band, you bet. All that stuff.
I talk to young people these days. They don't know about that stuff.
No, it was unbelievable. Rich time for, dare I say it, prog rock. Or
sure. And for the Tin Huey guys, you this is the first time you start touring?
There was a constant shuffle between the Northeastern Ohio bands in New York City. So we would go to New York City a lot with, Perubu would play, Devo would play, the Dead Boys, Tin Huey would go back and forth. We would probably wave to each other passing on Route 80 in the middle of Pennsylvania. But we spent a lot of time in New York. We tried to go other places. We weren't popular anywhere else.
You never came out west?
No, I never came out west.
Okay.
Well, we did to record our record, but we didn't play.
Where was that?
1979. We recorded at Warner Brothers,
Hollywood.
Yeah, at Hollywood, right.
What was that like? Was that your first time to California?
First time in California. We met Captain Beefheart. We invited him to come and play harmonica.
Wow.
Captain Beefheart came to our session, which was wonderful. But Ralph had already laid down a harmonica track, and Captain said, "Well, that just sounds fine to me." You know.
What was your impression to him in real life?
Oh, I was talking to a deity. I'm instant fanboy of Blubbering Worship. But
he talked to him on the phone. He was taking phone calls. This interview he did in the late '80s, and I asked him about the middle is strictly personal, that stuff they're wearing, because it used to scare me. So that was just stuff laying around.
Well, he was as one would expect Captain Beefheart to be, filled with a verbal, dizzying, commentary and, loopy, non sequiturs and delight.
What about did you meet some of the guys from the Magic Band?
I never did. No, I think Ralph did.
I think that was a little tougher to be in the Magic Band than to be a fan.
Yeah, I think Ralph knew John French.
Drumbo. There's right. Something, and I just finished the Mike Barnes book, and they're talking to Ry Cooter, and he said, "Yeah, I was getting a little brown shirt." Anyway, I love his music. A big inspiration for us Minutemen too.
Well, I hear it in your stuff.
Right. It was huge for us. In fact, when the movement came, it was like Cap'n and Stooges was already doing it, and they just didn't have a name for it yet.
Yep.
That's how it was for. So, how long was your tenure with the Tin Huey?
Tin Huey lasted about 3 years.
Okay.
And we did one record for Warner Brothers, and then they bought us out of our second.
Yeah.
And we took the money and ran. We ran in New York City because that's where we were popular. And I was wondering what to do with myself. I just wanted to be a songwriter. And this is 79, 80, around there. And New York was just wonderful. It was fabulous. There was the loft jazz scene. There was still some CBGB going on. And but I moved there as much for the jazz stuff as for the rock and roll business. But
it was a lot more econo to live there then, right?
That's right. That's right. I can live in a closet in the West Village for like $325 a month. And I laughed at my friends who had just signed 10-year leases for $500 a month for some, a loft somewhere down in Soho, and I just snickered, what do I need all that space for?
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, August 1st, 2018, the Shabbat for Pedro show. Special guest, Chris Butler, hold tight for hour two. August 1st, 2018, this is the second hour of the Wat Pedro Show.
Yankovic was king. The whole town moved in view for time, and everyone would sing about those barrels that kept rolling, and the quiches in the butcher shop, and how sad she was. So what? Because she sure could Chicago hop. She smells like pierogies. I smell too much like beer. The whole gang's down at Scotch's. Paul Wilcox is here. It's Pulaski, not Pulaski. Let the accordion play. Let's rub ya.
Thank you. מלחמה, יולדת אותי מחדש. איבר מינה מדמם, מכוער ורפוי. אני נפלט ממנו, חמוש ורצחני, מחשכת הרחם אל חשכת הקרב.
בל נפליג.
עם המלחמה הקטנה והחרבה קורעת להשתין על האדמה, מחייכת בפה חף שיניים, מבקשת מים. אמא, מלחמה היא געגועי המוות אל עצמו.
המדבר גדול בסיני רחוקה, אילו זה היה בעמק הירדן, או אילו זה היה בקווים שלפני מלחמת ששת הימים, היה עד 25 קילומטר לפני נתניה או לפרון, במצב שלא מבין, בוודאי לא היינו נוהגים שם.
אנחנו נמשיך לתקוף, ואנחנו נמשיך לעקות, ואנחנו נשבור להם את העצמות. אני עוד לא רוצה להתחייב כמה זמן זה ייקח לנו.
This is Bath Safety Day, which brings up the issue of why isn't there a national shower day? You know where my best ideas come from? God and the muses speak to me through the shower head. Answers ride in on rushing hot water. Cautions and caveats via bursting soap bubbles. I'd stay in there for hours and hours if I had my druthers. I'd spend all day in the shower. You can split the world into those who clean up standing up and those who clean up lying down. I prefer the vertical. Soakers are slackers, wasting water. They're not eco-friendly, getting all puckered and pruney. Showerers are doers. We're quick. We don't waste time. Not like the rich and pampered who float till they bloat. Baths are for kids. with their rubber duckies and squeaky toys. Showers are for adults. A shower is working class. A shower is for guys and girls on the go. We've got shit to do. And remember, save water and shower with your steady. That's good advice. Ever try to fuck in a bathtub? Not only does the water tidal wave out onto the floor, but no American tub is big enough for two people. Someone is always getting the spigot jammed in their back. No fun. How many times have you heard the phrase, "Grandma slipped in the bathtub and broke her hip"? Showers are safer. You can't drown. I'd spend all day in the shower. I'd spend all day in the shower. I'd spend... What? Wait a minute. It's Bath, Maine? Bath, Maine? Safety Day? So, I'd still spend all day in the shower. I'd still spend all day in the shower. I'd still spend all day in the shower. I'd still spend all day in the shower.
Saddest thing is when your heroes reveal themselves. I never do that to you. I keep mine in always. The saddest thing is when you realize your heroes are scum. And I know it's confusing sometimes when you don't know who to be gentle and kind to. And you're getting your signals all mixed up. When a yes means a yes, and a no means a no. And the absence of a yes is still a no. And still there's nothing in this world that I hate more than the people you hang out with now. Hang out with now. Your heroes reveal themselves. I never do that to you. I keep mine in no way. It's the saddest thing. It's when you realize your heroes are scum. You see, there's nothing in this world that I hate more than the people you hang out with now. Hang out with now.
Gorilla suit.
Meeting ritual. I know it gets a little hot, but there will be breaks. Water breaks. Banana breaks. Water breaks. Banana breaks. All kinds of breaks. All kinds of breaks.
Watt for Pedro Show. We start the second hour off with Polka Day. Ralph Carney and Chris Boat. Chris wants to give us some insights.
Sure. I'm from Cleveland, and Cleveland's a huge polka town. That's where Frankie Yankovic is from. And,
right.
You know, you're polka is, you know, so the most uncool of all musical forms. Ha. But it's such a huge culture in Cleveland. And I make a lot of references to famous polka-themed stuff in Cleveland, a great Polish bar called Stasia's, where I was taken once, my first job out of college was this crappy job working at an employment agency, and all my fellow workers took me down on a weekend, and I had a fabulous time. People really know, polka people really know how to party, Mike, I swear. It's very interesting.
There was a
TV show called Polka Varieties, which was syndicated out of Cleveland, and the host was a fellow named Paul Wilcox, and he was a local celebrity, and he would show up at Stasia's, and you know, all the people would be a Twitter because he was such a champion of Cleveland style polka music. I got more of an education in polka than I thought. The Chicago style, a bunch of other styles, and Polka Day seemed like a pretty good day to write a song about. So
because you know it's immigrant music, Eastern Europe.
Yep.
Yeah. We got a Oregon man for the second man who grew up his pop got him into accordion. Croatian, right. Italian wedding parties here.
Yeah, I'm Italian and Hungarian, so I got deep ethnic roots. I grew up in the Hungarian ghetto of Cleveland on Buckeye Road, and I can make a mean paprikash.
Some brand new from up.
In fact, I've served my paprikash to Herbie Hancock and a bunch of other people. So I'm the pop percussion king.
Respect. Then we heard brand new from Nango out of Hokkaido, Numa. Farther south, Tel Aviv, Mother War gives birth. That's Safety Day, Ralph Carney, Chris Butler. What was that? You, one of yours, or was that Ralph's?
It's one of mine.
Okay. And what you were just saying, this is a good day to write a song about fucking bat safety.
Yeah. Why not?
Yep. Lucy Lee with Hang It Out With Now. Instituto, that's out of England. Instituto No from Sicily. Finale. And finally, Gorilla Suit Day. Ralph Carney and Chris Butler. Gorilla Suit Day. So you say this prod started, it took a couple years.
Yep.
And you and Ralph just trading tapes?
Yep. Yep, bouncing files back and forth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pro Tools.
Pro Tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not so lame about the bad new days. You can do stuff like that.
I know.
It was very hard to do in the old days. Like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You had to be in the room with the guy.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he was in San Francisco. I was in Akron and Hoboken, New Jersey.
Okay. And were you ever in the same place when you did these things, or would you just record on each other's guy's sound?
Record on each other, pass it back and forth. Okay. Yeah, no, we were never in the same place.
But you know, it really sounds cohesive, though.
Well, we're pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, really good. I'm going to play Bald and Free Day. I mean, what's that about?
It's about daring to not wear your toupee.
Oh, the piece. Okay.
The piece. The ragtop.
Yeah. Let's hear the tune about the piece.
There's a lynch mob coming for you, and you'll fear your time ain't long. But it's hard to feel for you when you got that rug thing on. We get you feeling evil, that you're way past half past dead. But man, you look so silly with that roadkill on your head. Trust a blues man who wears a toupee. Did you think we wouldn't notice? Did you think we'd let it slide? Did you make it out of 99 hamsters that done died? Have you thought about our kerchief? Or letting a do-rag do what it does? Or get that stuff they sell on TV, you know, that can of spray-on fuzz. For your troubles and sorry for your woe, but that hairy hat drops your credibility to 9 below 0. We hear you poor and lonesome, and your life is one raw deal. But take the money from this gig, man, and go buy one that looks real. Thank you. it doesn't have to be this way. But how can we believe a single word you say? 'Cause you can't trust a blues man. No, you can't trust a blues man. You can't trust a blues man who wears a toupee. Such a distraction. I mean, it's not polite to point, but man, see, you know, I mean, the light hits you the right way, and it's the wrong way.
If you want it done right, you know what to do. Don't have to stay up all night. Take a day or two. Take your time.
You know. looking back at the valley. No more dwellings. Only to the granite. The journey went a way that all will travel. Flower field. The longest winter night, corn pellets fall, and finally the western moon. Farewell.
most official, I'm the last of my kind. I'm an orphan and I've moved up one place in the line.
In the club, where everyone's a member. Today we remember.
In the club with the ever-growing numbers and ever-shrinking numbers, both
at the same time.
And I'm supposed to be accepting that there's something everlasting and a reason for this wasting. This wasting away. And there's supposed to be a meaning, a comfort in the passing, in the stories we are telling, as we cling together waiting for the punchline to this ultimate gruesome joke.
Disease deleted, TFTFFF. Disease deleted, TFTFFF. Disease deleted, TFTFFF. TF, 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 TF.
It's the complete, enormous, total goneness. This howling nothingness that I just can't comprehend. Be accepting, and there's supposed to be a meaning.
Some meaning. Disease deleted, TFTFFF. 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 Disease deleted, TFTFFF.
Why for Pedro show? Yeah, like Chris was just saying off the air, people. One day a year, leaving it home. And then we had Disorder with Behind. The Doers out of Vancouver with Quality Products at Affordable Prices. Ralph Carty and Chris Butler with Penguin Awareness Day. I didn't know there was such a... I do know.
We could have kept going on this. Ralph... You know, Ralph passed away in September.
Yeah, I know.
That's, we had already started on volume two. We were going to do just months.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of unexpected. He wasn't in bad health.
No, it was a total freak accident, fluke accident.
Okay.
Just a shock to everybody. We're still like quivering.
But at least you got this out.
Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah, that's trippy about how long your shift is. You just never know. Maybe the wisdom out of it is you just can't take anything for granted.
That's right, and you got to keep working.
Keep pushing.
Like you do. You do. You're everywhere.
Well, I lost a buddy really early. And
I know.
When those things happen, you're kind of stupid if you ignore them. So.
Yeah.
We had Cuckoo Atusing, Spittin' Blood from SS Space Systems, upstate New York. Paranoid stayed out of Holland doing the Red Zone. And finally, Day of the Dead by Ralph Carney and Chris Butler. Is this like after Halloween in Mexico?
Well, somehow the title got switched. I was originally thinking of it as Remember You Die Day, Memento Mori Day, in early January. I think it's January 7th. It's a pretty dark song. I guess I'm just musing on my inability to come to grips with being mortal. Ironic again, because as I said, Ralph passed away in September of 2017, and
almost a year now.
Yeah. I mean, I can be dark.
But you know, some Shakespeare plays, but you leave one guy to tell the story, right? Not everybody dies.
No. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Ralph and what a genius he was and what a great guy he was and how creative he was. My God. And talented man. This guy can make a sound out of any instrument you put in front of him.
Did you ever talk about how he got into it as a young guy?
Yeah. He started playing bluegrass banjo.
Okay.
So we started on banjo and then.
Like how old? Like a kid?
Yeah, a kid, right. And then he became good friends with Alan Myers. Now, Alan Myers' name, you should know, that's the drummer who became the drummer for Devo.
Yeah, sure. And he became an electrician or something.
Yes, that's right.
Right,
that's
quit the band.
Yeah.
But incredible guy, and kind of, you remind me of Jackie from Can.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I see the similarity.
Very kind of accurate, very hypnotic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Ralph and Alan became pals, and Alan turned him on to jazz, and Ralph immediately picked up a saxophone and never put it down, basically. Ralph would say that the saxophones are reeds are his main instruments, but from this record, you could tell he could play anything, plus all kinds of bizarre ethnic instruments as well. He used a lot of ethnic instruments on this. He had quite a collection of a lot of Southeast Asian things you can kind of boing and plunk and blow into, and he used as much of that as he could. Well, yeah, as I said, he was a virtuoso on just about anything.
Yeah. Quite a privilege to get to play with him.
Oh, absolutely. And 3 years in Tin Huey, too. I mean.
Right.
I've been very fortunate. I played with incredible reed players, Mars Williams and the Waitresses, Cherry Hines, Chrissy Hines' brother in the Numbers Band, Ralph Carney, Donnie Davis, from New York. I've really been lucky to be around such incredible reed players.
I got to be that 125 months I was telling you with Brother Steve McKay.
Yep.
And he had that same Selma Mark VI he used for Funhouse.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's Selmer's, that's right.
He was a Grand Rapids guy originally.
Holy Grail, right? Yes. Selmer's, Mark VI's.
Yeah, I think that's what John Coltrane.
I believe so.
He's a huge inspiration for me, you know. I didn't know about him as a kid, but in fact, I thought he was an older punk rocker. I didn't know he was dead even when William Pettibone played it for me. I know. So, you know, I'm from Navy Housing and stuff. I didn't know about John Fogerty's shirts either, you know. I thought it was just his rock and roll. I thought if I wore him, D. Boone would still like me because I couldn't figure them bass parts out for shit. Look, at the end of the second hour, August 1st, 2018. This is your Watt Pedro Show special guest, Chris Butler. Hold tight for hour three. August 1st, 2018. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Happy World UFO Day.
Every July 2nd, World UFO Day seeks to get governments to fess up to the existence of UFOs. Happy World UFO Day. Happy World UFO Day. Happy World UFO Day. Many people believe that the UFOs from outer space have already visited us. And a big government cover-up is hiding the facts from the public. The date for this special day was chosen because it is the date of the Roswell incident, a historical event leading to the wide speculation and belief that aliens have indeed visited us. Organizers are downright serious about getting the overall public to believe that we indeed have been visited by aliens from outer space. They are seeking to get the U.S. and other governments to admit to what they believe is reality. Have we been visited by extraterrestrial beings? You make the call. You make the call.
July 2nd, 1947.
Is the date well known to UFO believers? Is it everyone? On this date, Matt Brazel, a rancher in the northwest of Roswell, New Mexico, discovered wreckage of a metallic object on his ranch. The wreckage and the metal it was made of was strange. He contacted military authorities who investigated the site and removed the wreckage. The first military reports referenced a mysterious, unidentified flying object. These reports were later rescinded, leading to the wide speculation and claims of a massive government cover-up and the discovery of UFOs from outer space.
It also sparked fear of the UFO invasion,
and rumors of other incidents. Speculation is alive and well today. That speculation is alive and well today. My sister saw a UFO 1967 or so down a road in Akron, Ohio. She saw it with a guy in a car. I think it was in the paper. I told my teacher at school.
try, my love fails every time I walk alone to the back of the line.
Holy Word, thanks be to God. Hear our prayer. A reading from the prophet Ezekiel 1:19. When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirits would go, they went. And the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When they moved, the others moved. When they stopped, the others stopped. And when they rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Holy Wisdom, Holy Word, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Present in a world groaning under the excesses of consumption, we acknowledge the inherent goodness of two-wheel transportation and give thanks for the simple beauty of the motorcycle. God of life, hear our prayer. Present in a community filled with children, we pray for those learning to ride. Keep them smart, safe, and visible on their neighborhood roads. God of life, hear our prayer. Present in a community filled with strife, we pray for the victims of road rage and bike theft. And we ask for the strength to forgive mean people. God of life, hear our prayer. Present in a world of work, we pray for those who build, repair, and clean our bikes, and those who rely on their bikes to earn their living. Bless them. Bless those who chose to be different in their ride work and those for whom driving an automobile isn't even an option. God of life,
hear our prayer.
Present in a community of beautiful diversity, we ask your protection and blessing on all who ride. Weekend warriors, professionals, homeless folks, students, children, eco warriors, outlaws, off-roaders, anarchists, messengers, and all the others who take to the streets, racetracks, parks, and mountains. Keep us safe as we ride. God of life,
hear our prayer.
We now observe a moment of silence for all who have died while writing. God of life, hear our prayer. Now receive this blessing as we pray for you and your bike. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May all your journeying be joyous. And until we meet again, may God hold you and your bikes in the palm of His hand. Go in peace and safety. Amen. With the roar of those who are being saved by God, may you start your engines.
Stay the hell away from buying any rock TV shirts or hip-hop gear or anything like that. Arcade games, pick out one that you can do, okay? One that you can do as opposed to a whole bunch of them that you don't know what the hell you're doing. Techno music just puts a hole in your brain. Are you listening to me? Look at me when I'm talking to you.
Huh?
Engineering. Engineering? This is Girl. I'm sure you have a lot to discuss, so I'll just shut up and leave me be. Oh, Girl. You should know that engineers are really good problem solvers. So if you have a problem, now's your chance to get it solved. Okay, have fun, kids. One more thing. Engineers need degrees in engineering. Most engineers are civil engineers. 278,400 to be exact. Okay, go to it.
Introduce a girl to engineering. Introduce a girl to engineering. Ring.
Mentioned that in 1834, Ada Byron Lovelace, daughter of famous poet Lord Byron, heard of Charles Babbage's idea for a new calculating engine, the analytical engine. Ada suggested to Babbage a plan for calculating Bernoulli numbers with this new machine. This plan is now regarded as the first computer program. And in 1843, she published a paper that predicted the development of computer software, artificial intelligence, and computer music. Sorry. Engineering employment is expected to grow about as fast as the average for all occupations through 2018, although outlook will vary by branch. Engineers can work in design, development, testing, production, and maintenance. And the median salary for a computer hardware engineer is $98,820 a year.
Introduce a girl to engineering. Introduce a girl to engineering. Ring. Introduce a girl to engineering. Introduce a girl to engineering. Introduce a girl to engineering. Ring. Introduce a girl to engineering. Introduce a girl to engineering.
Watt for Pedro show. We started off the third hour with World UFO Day. Chris Butler, what's behind that?
Oh, that's Ralph. Ralph had a Ralph's one of Ralph's passions was bizarre postings. He was a fan of shoot, what's that late night radio show?
Art Bell, Coast to Coast.
Art Bell, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, he was a fan of Art Bell, and he liked all things kind of outside. He was a fan of the outside, and he would always post proof of UFO films and sightings and abductions, and I think he just had to reach for the something that was real close to his tastes to do a UFO day. So
okay, then we had the Soul and Bones, some local SoCal contemporary, Billy from the Skulls singing. That I'm right, you're wrong. Then guy by Voices, there's some Ohio Class Crown, yep. Spots a UFO number one. Yeah, Bob Pollard, he puts out an album like every 2 months.
I know. I know.
He just put out his 101st album.
Yeah. It's incredible. They just played guy by Voices just played in Cleveland, okay, about a month ago.
I think they're from the West Side by Cincinnati. Yeah, Dayton, I think.
Dayton. Yeah. Right.
And then we had something by you and Ralph, Blessing of the Bikes Day.
Yeah.
What, some insight on there, Chris.
Okay, when I was looking around for obscure holidays, I thought this one was just fantastic. As I said earlier in this talk interview, I used to play for the biker clubs in my high school band, and we used to do a lot of funerals because a lot of these guys would rack themselves up on Interstate 271 going too fast on their Harleys, and their fork would split open and they'd lose their front wheel or something. Anyway, played a lot of funerals, and there was always a priest or a reverend there, and they would compose a liturgy of about motorcycling, and you know, blessed are those who take to the highways on two wheels. And I did a little digging and I found the complete liturgy for a Blessing of the Bikes Day, and it read like gospel poetry, right? And so I used it as I added some drones and a Gregorian chant, and found a congregation doing a call and response, I was able to come up with a tune where I get to be in the pulpit and read the liturgy of Blessing of the Bike. So and I bless myself because I got this old Triumph motorcycle that loves to break down in the middle of nowhere, and
I heard the word on Triumphs or England bikes, period. They like to leak.
They like to leak. Yeah, they mark their territory.
And we had some music from Australia. This is Emil and the Sniffers with Blowjobs, Drunk Mums with I Got a Motorbike, So Fuck You. That's appropriate, huh? Mod, yeah. Vigil with Fallout Boy. And then finally, you and Ralph doing Introduce a Girl to Engineering Day. I guess that one don't really need explaining. No. So let's listen to Bubble Wrap Day.
We're
sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that you and your family came all the way out here to bumfuck Long Island for this disastrous dinner party. I didn't know both of your kids would vomit all over the back seat of the car you rented. Rented because you lived in the city and so didn't have a car. And I'm really sorry that I served lobster. For most folks, lobster would have been a treat. Lobster was how we lured our other city friends out here. That and champagne, too. It's expensive bait, but that's what it took if we wanted company. We get them fresh off the boat, too. One of the few good things about living all the way out here. Anyway, I didn't know that Sabra... Wait, you think I know with a name like Sabra? And your hints about a renewed flirtation with orthodoxy. But dumb Goy didn't put two and two together. Instead, here you are, 3 hours late with puking kids and Long Island Expressway road rash, staring at 1.5 pounds of pink, succulent treif. I'm really sorry. Well, at least maybe you could eat the risotto. But I'm in the kitchen wrestling with that, having never made risotto. And it's not going well. I had the correct type of rice, at least, but something was dreadfully wrong. The rice was still hard after 45 minutes of cooking and adding twice as much liquid as the recipe had called for. And we had no fallback. No Uncle Ben's or Carolina or Minute Rice. Do they even make Minute Rice anymore? What the hell is wrong with this rice? I had some pork chops in the freezer, but oh man. I'm really sorry. What the hell is wrong with this rice? I had no choice. I had to serve you something. So I glopped a spoonful on your plate, hoping for the best. You were kind enough to take a few polite bites, but then looked at your watch and said, sorry, you had to go back to the city. Take it with you, I said. Did I blow it? You had been our band's manager, and when we imploded, I felt so ashamed how we'd let you down. How we'd let the people who'd gone to bat for us at the record label down. I'm sorry, even though you had a zillion other successful acts and even a zillion or dollars stashed away. You want to be my manager as a solo act? Did you think I had the goods? Or was I now Treif? I'm really sorry. Thank you.
really sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Lobster. Lobster. What the hell was I thinking? Lobster.
spread them far and wide. There was love and joy, smiles and peace. Mankind got it together for one brief shining moment at least. We need hippies. We need hippie now more than ever. We need some hippie. We need some hippie now more than ever. We need that hippie. We need that hippie now more than ever. A lot more hippie. We need a lot more hippie now more than ever. Well, there's so much wrong, I don't know where to start. Too much for one song. The pain in my heart so big that I can't look at the world with nothing less than shame. We made a real mess and we're all to blame. We need hippie. We need hippie now more than ever. We need that hippie. We need that hippie now more than ever. We need a whole lot of hippie. We need a whole lot of hippie now more than ever. Tons of hippie. We need tons of hippie now more than ever, 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 ever. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah?
Let's play some hippie music.
Okay.
Are there any old hippies out there?
Yeah!
Cool. Hey, you want to be on our record?
Yeah!
Great. Let's get these damn drums out of here. Now, I got one question for you. Were we right?
We were right.
Were we right about the earth being a precious thing? Were we right?
We were right.
Small is beautiful. Were we right?
We were right.
Equal rights for everyone. Were we right?
We were right.
Okay, take it.
Make love, not war.
Were we right?
We were right. Remake, reuse, recycle.
And were we right?
We were right. Thousands of people.
Were we right?
We were right. Music should be free.
I'm not so sure about that.
Okay, last music for this edition, Bubble Wrap Day, Ralph Carney and Chris Butler. You know, this album's based on weird holidays, right? And Chris is giving me insights on these trade associations that put together this stuff, you know, to like sling their brand. And he's saying it's ready-made poetry.
It is. It is.
So we had Bubble Wrap Day. And then DMF did Body out of Orange County here. Mold Omen from Baltimore with Toot, All That Glitters Is Mold. Then Lobster Day from Ralph Carney and Chris Butler. That's your channel in your Boston days.
That little bit. Boston. Yeah, yeah. That's a true story of inviting my manager out to, my former manager out to, our house in Long Island, and where no one would come unless we would lure them out with lobster and champagne, and it was a disastrous dinner party. Disaster. It's just a disaster. I don't want to do a spoiler about what the song is about. Needless to say, he did not pick me up as a solo artist.
Then we had Soto doing Playful Day, Oswald Dolby, Silly Girl, and finally, Ralph Carney and Chris Butler doing Hippie Day.
Yeah.
You mean there's a hippie holiday?
There's a hippie holiday. Doggone. Doggone.
Really? Now.
Yeah, yeah.
And is some trade organization supports it?
No, I don't think so. It's just universally assumed that there's a hippie day. I found it on one of those websites.
Wait, what day is hippie day?
I'm not sure. I think it's Earth Day. Same day as
Earth
Day.
Oh, okay. In April.
Yeah.
Near the end of April. do you remember when you first started hearing the word hippie?
Yeah, somebody yelled at me for having long hair in high school. Cleveland had a great bohemian scene and around University Circle and coffee shops and
sure.
Rock clubs and college and girls in leotards and very beatnik kind of thing, and that it was just at the transition period between beatniks and became hippies, and I think some guy in a pickup truck yelled, "Cut your hair, you fucking hippie." So I think that's when I first realized there was a split in American culture between thems with golden flowing locks and thems without.
Yeah. Another great divide.
Another great divide.
What about these days for you, Chris, with music? What's next?
I keep writing. I did a CD called Got It Together. It's my sixth solo CD. I play bass with a bunch of friends. I play drums in a surf band. We played in downtown Akron this summer, which was just wonderful. I got a bunch of new songs cooking. I'm not going to go quietly, Mike.
Yeah, that's great. And if people want to know about your music, can they find you on the internet, Chris?
Sure. I'm a Facebook. Please friend me. It's Christopher Butler. Got a website called Future Fossil Music, all one word, futurefossilmusic.com. If you're interested in this Songs for Unsung Holiday, please go to smogvale.com.
Yeah, great label, Smogvale.
Smogvale, great label.
I'm on three unknown instructors, about to have a fourth one. It's getting mixed right now. That's where I got to record with David Thomas.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Guy out of Toledo, Dan McGuire, put that together where I got to play with Joe Baiza, and this time George Hurley and Joe Maskus.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Smogvale, a lot of great releases. Yeah, those people over there, they got a real sense of the Cleveland's past or Northeast Ohio. It's really happening, you know. Much respect. What about a young person coming up to you, Chris, and asking about advice about this field of expression? Well, I want to say racket, right? Not too many lobster days, right?
Not too many lobster days. No, I think it's like any creative enterprise. You need to have a relatively thin skin. There's a lot of disappointment involved, but hopefully one's passion will rise above. And if you keep getting ideas and you feel compelled to bring them into the world, you should do that. It's probably the most punk thing you can do because it is not easy. I would encourage anybody who is creative in any field to give it a good go, and it won't be roses, but it won't suck either.
That's great. That is wise words from a man who has lived. Thank you so much, and really, it's truly about being on the show too. It's a big honor for me.
Oh, much great to meet you, Mike.
Okay, likewise. Please keep on keeping on and keep that keel in the water. People, it's been the August 1, 2018 edition of the Wap for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.